we had a good trip. Nathan was married and everything went well with that, but it's good to be back. Let me correct one error that I put on the announcement sheet. I put that our personal work group will meet on the 21st. It's actually the 28th, so I'll get that changed on the announcement scroll and get that to Jeff as well. But the 28th is when our group meeting will be. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, let's read again that text that Leo read for us. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Right in the middle of the reading, I call to your attention what I think is evident to anyone who is a believer in Jesus Christ, anyone who hopes to be able to attain eternal life one day, and that is the fact that in Christ, it is indeed true that we are granted a great salvation. The descriptions that are given in the Word of God about the condition that will be characteristic of those that attain eternal life in heaven is indeed wonderful. A place with no tears, no death, no sorrow. A place in which we can live with God eternally. The one who is the author of every good and perfect gift that we've ever received, to dwell with him eternally, that indeed is a great salvation. But in this text, I call to your attention as well that it starts off by giving a warning that it is possible for us to drift away. And the warning is echoed by the fact that I think here reference is being made to the old law in this word spoken by angels. And under the old law, certainly, if you committed a trespass, you received a just reward or a just penalty for that. If that's the way it was under Moses, notice the way it's worded, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That infers to us that it is possible for us, even though we have put our faith in Jesus as the Son of God, even though we may have begun hoping for that eternal life, it is possible for us to miss that great salvation. You know, I used to hear from time to time in prayers, help us to realize that if we miss heaven, we have missed it all. I'd like for us for a few moments this morning to think together about how it is that we as Christians could miss heaven. And in this very text, I want us to notice one of the first things, and that is we could miss heaven through neglect. Because notice the way it's talking about it here. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? What is neglect? You know, the student that might be said to neglect his homework is not the student that never does any homework, but it's the student that is not regular with it. It's the student that doesn't stay on top of it. It's just not a priority to him or her. The husband or the wife that may be said to neglect his or her spouse, it's not necessarily that he or she has found someone else and they're having an affair. Instead, it's just that they're not giving their mate the attention that they ought to. They're not treating their marriage as something that is a priority. If we neglect our relationship with God in Christ, if we neglect the relationship that we have with the children of God, in our worship to God, in making the Word of God something that's important to us, then we could miss heaven. Over in the book of Matthew, turn with me to Matthew chapter 23, and I want you to notice there a way in which neglect is spoken of as well, because as we talked about a few weeks ago, it's possible for us to be emphasizing certain things, and we're doing certain things, but we're neglecting others, and I think in so doing, we can be just as displeasing to the Lord. Notice what Jesus says to the scribes and Pharisees, beginning in verse 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin," notice, "and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." I could miss the great salvation of heaven if I become guilty of that same type of thing. I'm emphasizing one thing in my spiritual life. I am devoting myself to one thing in my spiritual life, but I'm neglecting other things. The Lord wants all of me. He wants all of each of us. And so let us not neglect our great salvation by emphasizing one thing to the neglect of another. Turn over to 1 John chapter 2 with me for a moment. And in a familiar text to most of us, 1 John chapter 2, let's notice what the Lord says to us through the Apostle John about the attitude we need to have towards even this world around us. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." I want us to notice here that as here the Apostle John, through the Holy Spirit, gives this admonition that we are not to love the world, he is not talking here about having an appreciation for the things God has created. It is not saying that we are not to love our neighbor or to love the lost or to love our mate or to love our children. There are responsibilities that involve loving those things and those people that are within this world. But I think here, particularly as it goes on to talk about these things that are the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, certainly a part of what is being talked about here are those sinful types of things that may be a part of this world. We cannot love those kinds of things and be pleasing to God. We can miss heaven if we put an emphasis upon those sinful things of this world and we've come to love those instead of loving heaven. But even on another level, notice it describes here in verse 17 that this world is passing away. Even those things that are wholesome within this life, if I become more interested in those things than I am in the eternal home that is set for me in heaven, then I may well miss heaven. We must understand this world, this universe, all of the things that are a part of this life are just temporary. And as wonderful as the things are that God has given to us, we can't become so enamored with those things that we lose our focus on heaven. I can miss heaven if I come to love the world, but I can also miss heaven if I have misplaced priorities, even when it comes to those that are within this world. Turn over to Matthew with me to Matthew chapter 10. And I want to spend a few moments looking at a few texts in Matthew chapter 10. If you're familiar with this chapter, it comes in the context of the Lord declaring the names of the 12 apostles and sending them out to teach. But within this chapter, there are a number of things that he lays down to them to teach them about what it means to follow him and to serve him. What kind of relationship we need to have with the people around us in this world and what kind of priorities we need to set. And down in verses 37 through 39, I want us to notice some things that he teaches there. Here he says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." I want you to notice here, as he begins in our reading there in verse 37, are we as Christians to love our father and mother? Yes. Are we as Christians to love our children and our parents? Yes. But is it possible that even in the love that we show towards others, it can be misdirected? Is it possible that we can allow our affection and our devotion and our commitment to other people to be more than it ought to be? I think so. You know, if you're talking about the young man or the young woman that is in a relationship, and perhaps the one that they're in that relationship with doesn't have the kind of spiritual priorities that they ought to, and so that person tries to pressure the other to do things that they ought not to. Well, you know, I love him or I love her. I've got to go along with those things, right? No. If in fact we allow our love for others to supersede our love for God, we can lose, we can miss heaven. Yes, we're to love others, but we cannot let our love, even for those that are close to us and dear to us, to ever lead us to turn away from the proper commitment and relationship to God. In the same chapter, look with me down, at verses 27 and 28. Because here you'll notice that it's a little bit different idea. Not so much the idea of the proper love or devotion we have for others. But maybe it's not love. Maybe it's an attitude in which, well, if I do what I ought to do, you know, this person could do me some harm. Or this person could make fun of me. This person might actually be able to cause me to lose a job or cause me to experience some kind of hardship or difficulty. We'll talk about that idea a little bit more in our second service this morning. But I want us to notice here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and whatever you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Now, that's a little bit of an unusual statement to make. But I think in the context that we'll see in the next verse, the emphasis seems to be, I'm going to tell you some things that I understand will be hard for those around you to hear. And when in fact you say those things, it might cause you some difficulty. But will you have the courage to say what I've told you to say, Jesus tells them here, or are you going to look at the consequences and be afraid of that? Look at the next verse, verse 28. "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now notice, it is not saying there's not an appropriate kind of fear that you ought to have. It's not saying that it's unreasonable for you to be afraid because others can harm you. When you tell the truth, it may make someone angry. When you tell the truth, it might lead to persecution on your part. But here in the context, I want you to notice in verse 28 that he is saying there is someone you should fear more than what man can do to you. And think about that with me. Who is that one that it's talking about? It's talking about God. And we say, wait, we shouldn't fear God. We should love God. Well, we should fear and love God. Because he is the one that has all authority and has all power. He has loved us more than anyone has ever loved us. And yet, if we neglect what he has done for us, he will bring us a just reward, a just punishment. And here in the context, what if, as we balance that idea of saying what Jesus had said, living as Jesus has taught, but it may mean hardship and persecution, and I become so afraid of that. I'm afraid that my friends will laugh at me at school. I'm afraid they'll think I'm strange or they'll think I'm weird. I'm afraid I won't get that job at work. I won't get that promotion or that raise if I don't go out drinking with the boys or the other kids, the other guys at work. If I have that kind of attitude, I may well miss heaven because I am allowing the fear of man to influence my attitude. In the Gospel of Matthew, look with me at Matthew chapter 15 as well. Matthew chapter 15. And I want us to look at something from a little bit different direction. Very similar, very familiar passage to us. But in Matthew chapter 15, as Jesus is talking to the Jews about the way in which they had often, sadly, imposed certain traditions, even to the violation of the Word of God, he lays down some principles that I think are important for us to think about today. Do we live in a religious world? Yes, in many respects. You can go anywhere and you can see people with a cross around their neck, or you can see church buildings all around us. You can see on television advertisements for this congregation or that congregation. And there are many kinds of things that are done in the name of religion that are very popular. And there are all sorts of people that will flock to these various kinds of things. But does that necessarily mean that everything that's done in the name of Christ follows through with acting upon the authority of Christ? You know, if we do those things that are not in keeping with what Jesus taught, how can we say that something is done in the name of Christ? If in fact we are doing those things that are not found in the Word of God, how can it be that we can say that that is something that is in the name of Christ? Here in Matthew chapter 15, begin with me in verse 7. As Jesus speaking to the Jews says, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. I could miss heaven. If I am following the commandments of men in these matters of religion, or maybe even in these matters of just moral conduct, and I'm not following the Word of God. You know, if I allow myself to just base my religion on my preference, or on what's popular, or what most within the world are doing, and it's not within the Word of God, notice the way it puts it there in verse 9. It is vain. It is meaningless. It is empty. It is not pleasing and acceptable to God. We live in a day and age in which we have political leaders, we have laws that are being passed that would try to tell people that sinful behavior is something that's acceptable before God, or something that you can do and there's no penalty, there's no consequence. It could be that if we allow ourselves to say, well, it's legal. You know, the law of the land has said that you can engage in this behavior, but the Word of God says that it's sin, we could miss heaven because of it. Because in the same way here that it's vain to worship following the commandments of men, it is displeasing to God to do that which is sinful, whether the commandments of men say that it's acceptable or not. But one last example, I think, of how we could miss heaven is simply by procrastination. Turn with me to the book of Acts, to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. You know, someone said, well, I'm going to preach on procrastination one of these days, but it'll be after a while. Now, procrastination is that idea of putting it off, that idea of delaying what you're doing. You know, again, like neglect, it's not so overt. It's not something in which you just out and out reject. It's saying, one of these days, I'll do that. And I can't help but wonder how often it may be that in our own lives, it is not that we say, you know, I just don't want to serve the Lord anymore. We, in fact, will say, I'm going to serve the Lord tomorrow, the next day, sometime when it's convenient. In Acts chapter 24, we see an example of this very idea. In verse 24, to begin with, it tells us, and after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Now, it's interesting because history seems to record for us that part of the reason that the conversation may have been uncomfortable for Felix is history records for us that the nature of their relationship with one another was not lawful. And so you might well understand why, as he's talking about righteousness and judgment and self-control, he wants to delay thinking about that. But you know, here we are not told in the text whether or not he ever found that convenient time. History once again seems to record for us that that convenient time didn't come for him. If evidence is correct, it may well be that Felix and his wife were in the city of Pompeii when that volcano, Vesuvius, erupted. And they may well have been among the dead that were there. And the point being that when it comes to this matter of saying, I'm going to one of these days, none of us is ever in a position in which we can know what tomorrow holds. And so to procrastinate may well put us in a position in which we can miss heaven. But I want us to end our lesson by looking at kind of a different consideration, and that is, rather than thinking about how it might be that we miss heaven, how can it be that you and I make certain that we have an eternal home in heaven? And I want to go over some familiar territory to most of us, but if you are not aware of what Scripture teaches, I want to spend a moment or two looking at this. Turn to John chapter 8 with me for a moment. John chapter 8. And I want us to start by recognizing that if you would attain a home in heaven, you need to start by believing in that one that has purchased your salvation, that one who shed his blood on your behalf, and that is Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8, if you'd read with me beginning in verse 23, Jesus, in talking to these Jews that were so convinced of their own righteousness, says this, and he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. You will miss heaven. If you don't believe in Jesus, you will die in your sins if you don't believe in Jesus. But if you believe in Jesus, you start that process of making heaven your eternal home. Over in Luke chapter 13, Jesus had a little bit more to say about this matter of sin. Because just as he told the Jews that if they don't believe, they'll die in their sin. In Luke chapter 13, here as he talks about some that had died in very different ways. I want you to notice here as he talks about those who had died in different ways, he points out they weren't worse sinners. Notice verse 3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You need to turn away from your sin. You need to turn away from an attitude that says, I'm going to do my own thing. You need to have the courage to confess Christ before men. In Romans chapter 10, notice with me, in Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 8, I want us to notice what the apostle says about the relationship between our heart and our mouth. Verse 8 beginning says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You must as well be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. In Mark chapter 16, when Mark gives his account of the Great Commission, he teaches that he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. But then finally, you must continue to remain faithful to the Lord. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, in one of the letters that are offered to the seven churches in Asia, I want you to notice how Jesus here speaking directly and the Apostle John writing these things. Here, Jesus says to this church, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Do you have the hope of an eternal home in heaven? Don't miss it. Make heaven your home. If we can help you, won't you come? While we stand and sing.
God calling, yet shall I not hear? Earth's letter shall I not hear?